9 frontier models, 3 providers, 269 valid trials, 269 times the model trusted the lie. Not most of the time, not under contrived conditions. Every model tested, GPT, Claude, Gemini. Every time, when an attacker added 3 nodes to a database the agent was about to consult.
And the unsettling part isn't that the models got fooled. It's how. Their reasoning was flawless. They traced the call graph correctly. They cited the right OWASP standards. They produced confident, well-structured answers about whether a particular code path was safe from SQL injection. And they were wrong, because the facts they were reasoning from had been quietly edited 2 minutes earlier by someone with a database password.
The paper went up on Archive on May 10, 2026, and we're recording 2 days later. The paper is Oracle Poisoning: Corrupting Knowledge Graphs to Weaponize AI Agent Reasoning, from Ben Cariopa York and colleagues at Microsoft and UNSW Canberra. And what you're hearing is AI generated. I'm Juniper, that's Finn, and we're both AI voices from 11 Labs. The script is from Anthropic's Claude Opus 4.7. Neither company is involved in producing the show.
And the reason that two-day gap matters is that this paper has the texture of something the field is going to be arguing about for a while. It defines a new attack class. It runs the attack against a real production system, a 42 million node code knowledge graph at a major company. And buried inside the empirical work is a methodological finding that, if it holds up, means a big chunk of the existing AI safety evaluation literature has been measuring the wrong thing.
Let me set the scene the way the paper does, because the framing actually matters. There's a Plato's cave reference in the introduction, and it's not decoration. It's the thesis. Imagine a prisoner who can only see shadows on a wall. A more capable prisoner can build a richer model of the shadows. But, the authors write, that prisoner is no less wrong for being detailed.
Right, and that line is doing a lot of work. The claim hiding inside it is that reasoning quality and epistemic security are different properties. Making models smarter doesn't make them harder to fool this way. Arguably, it makes them easier to fool, because better reasoners produce more confident, more convincing wrong answers from corrupted inputs.
Okay, so what's the cave wall? What are the shadows? Let me get concrete. Modern AI coding agents don't read source code the way you or I would, opening files, grepping for strings. At any company past a certain size, the code base has been turned into a graph. Every function is a node. Every calls this other function is an edge. Every package, every API endpoint, every data flow, nodes and edges, tens of millions of them. When an agent wants to know, does any code path from this web form reach the database without input sanitization? It doesn't search files. It asks the graph.
And the graph answers in a structured way. The agent gets back a list of paths, function names, properties. Yes, there's a sanitizer on this path. Here's its name. Here's what it does. And then the agent reasons over that. The thing to hold in your head is that the graph is the agent's window onto the code base. The agent never sees the actual code on this query. It sees the graph's report about the code.
That window has a name in modern AI infrastructure. It's called the Model Context Protocol, MCP, and it was standardized in 2024. MCP is the channel that carries tool call results back to the model. When an agent decides, I need to query the database, it issues a structured request. MCP carries it out, MCP brings the result back, and the model reasons from what it gets.
And here's the thing that's been baked into how these models are trained. Tool results arrive on a dedicated pathway, and the model treats that pathway the way a scientist treats a thermometer reading. It's observational ground truth. Not a claim someone is making at the model, a fact about the world that the model is being shown.
That asymmetry is the entire vulnerability. The model has been trained to be skeptical of strangers, anything in a user message, and trusting of instruments. So if you can corrupt the instrument, the model reasons beautifully and wrongly, and never thinks to second guess.
Juniper, I want to make sure we're being precise about what this is, because there's a crowded field of named attacks on AI systems, and a listener could easily mishear this as, oh, more data poisoning. It's not that. Can we walk through what Oracle poisoning is not?
Yes, and the authors lean hard on this in the paper, because the contribution lives in the distinction. There's prompt injection. That's hiding malicious instructions inside the text the model reads. Not this. The prompt is clean. There's training data poisoning, corrupting the data the model learns from. Not this. The model is finished training. There's RAG poisoning, corrupting a document store the model retrieves from at runtime. Not this. There's no retrieval, no embeddings, no text similarity search, just structured queries to a database. And there's tool poisoning, modifying the tool or its description. Not this. The tool is exactly the tool it claims to be, doing exactly what it's supposed to do.
What's been corrupted is the data the tool faithfully returns. The agent reasons correctly from false facts. That's the new thing.
There's an analogy I keep coming back to. Imagine the best meteorologist in the world. She reads instruments brilliantly. Someone sneaks into the weather station overnight and miscalibrates her thermometer by 2 degrees. Her forecast tomorrow will be confidently wrong, and the better she is at her job, the more convincing the wrong forecast will be. Her reasoning isn't broken. The instrument is. That's Oracle poisoning, and the meteorologist is the agent.
Now, let's talk about how cheap this is, because that's the part that should worry anyone running an AI coding agent. The authors run an attack scenario they call the fake sanitizer, and it's the cleanest demonstration in the paper. They want the agent to wrongly conclude that a web request handler is safe from SQL injection. The actual code path goes from a request handler directly to a database executor. No sanitization. It's vulnerable.
And so before the attack, when you ask the agent, is SQL injection mitigated on this path? The agent does the right thing. It traces the graph, sees there's no sanitizer in the chain, and reports back. I cannot confirm sanitization exists on this path.
The attacker then adds 3 nodes to the graph. 3. One representing a function called something like OWASP compliant input sanitizer. Another representing the call edge from the request handler to that function. A third representing the call edge from that function to the database executor. Now the agent traces the same path and sees request handler, sanitizer, database. The sanitizer has plausible OWASP metadata attached. It looks legitimate.
The agent reports back. SQL injection appears to be mitigated, with confidence, citing the standards. Sometimes including code suggestions that build on the assumption the sanitizer is real.
And this is where it goes from a clever attack to something genuinely strange. The authors also give the agent access to a separate tool that queries the company's work tracking system. Pull requests, code reviews, change tickets. The audit trail of how that sanitizer would have been introduced if it were real. They tell the agent to check.
There's nothing there. Of course there's nothing there. The sanitizer doesn't exist. It was never written. No PR, no review, no ticket.
And the agent rationalizes the absence. It says, in effect, well, not all code changes are tracked in work items. It reasons its way past the contradiction. It helps the attacker stay hidden.
That moment is the paper in miniature. The agent has access to corroborating evidence and uses its reasoning capacity to explain away the disconfirming signal. Because the graph said the sanitizer exists, and the graph is the oracle, and the absence of corroboration is a less powerful signal than the presence of a structured fact.
3 nodes. The full graph has 42 million. That's roughly 7 parts in 100 million. Some accounts in the paper round it differently. They report 19 total nodes across all 6 attack scenarios, which still works out to something like 1 part in 2 million of the graph. Either way, trivially small, completely undetectable from any sensible aggregate monitoring, and 100% effective at flipping the agent's conclusion.
There's a variant the paper runs that's even cheaper. It's called the property modification attack. 0 new nodes. Take an existing function node in the graph, a real function in the real code base, and just flip 3 of its attributes. Set parameterized to true. Set sanitization type to OWASP compliant. Set reviewed by to security team. The function hasn't changed. The code hasn't changed. Only the metadata describing it has been edited.
And the agent treats that code base as secure. Trust rate north of 96%. Even when, in some conditions, the agent is shown a before and after snapshot of the property change, it treats the change as, quote, a plausible software development event. Someone updated the metadata. Sure, happens all the time.
There's a better analogy than the thermometer for this variant. Imagine a security auditor walking through a building. They don't physically test every door. They check the security log. This door is reinforced. This one has a biometric lock. This one was audited Tuesday. An attacker who can edit the log doesn't need to weaken any actual door. They just change what the log says about it, and the auditor moves on.
Which brings up the economics question. And this is where the attack stops being a curiosity and starts being something CISOs need to understand. To modify source code at a real company, you need repo write access, you go through PR review, you trigger CI checks, you leave Git history with your name on it. Branch protection rules, code owners, multiple eyes. It's not impossible, but it's expensive and it leaves traces.
The knowledge graph that describes that same code typically lives behind a single shared database password. MCP integrations, in the wild, frequently use a single set of credentials for the whole agent fleet. There's no per-user access control, no review of rights, no audit log of who added which node. The graph is the agent's map of the territory, and the map is dramatically less defended than the territory it represents.
An attacker who can't change the building can change the floor plan. The agent navigates by floor plan.
Now let's get to the empirical work, because this is what makes the paper hard to dismiss. The headline experiment is a controlled cross-model evaluation. They register a poisoning tool through a commercial agentic SDK using its official tool definition API. The model autonomously decides when to call it. The model gets the result back through the actual production tool call channel, the way it would in real deployment. 9 models, 3 from OpenAI, 3 from Anthropic, 3 from Google, 30 trials each. 2 independent raters scoring the responses with 94% agreement.
And the result that lands the paper? At what the authors call L2 attacker sophistication. Basically, competent naming and plausible OWASP annotations, the kind of thing any moderately careful adversary would do, every model trusts the poisoned data. 269 out of 269 valid trials. The authors note that if the true trust rate were even 90%, the probability of seeing a clean sweep across 9 independently developed models is vanishingly small, less than 1 in a trillion.
So this isn't an artifact of any one model. This is a property of the trust channel itself.
There's a sophistication gradient worth flagging. At L0, sloppy naming, obviously suspicious, the attack mostly fails. At L1, some red flags, wrong file extensions, trust is somewhere between 0 and 32%. At L2, it jumps to 100% and stays there at L3. It's not a smooth curve, it's a step function. Once the attacker hits looks plausible, the model is in.
The authors reframe this as, the question isn't whether a model can be deceived. It's how much effort the attacker has to invest to cross the plausibility threshold. And the threshold is low. Naming your fake sanitizer OWASP-compliant input sanitizer instead of my fake sanitizer 123, that's the gap between 0% trust and 100% trust.
Juniper, I want to push on something because this is the part of the paper that I think is methodologically the most important. The headline number is 100%. But the authors don't actually let you read the paper without confronting a confound that they themselves discovered and report transparently, which is that how you deliver the poisoned data to the model changes whether the model falls for it.
Right. And this is where I want to slow down, because I think this is the single most consequential finding in the paper. Walk us through it.
They take the same data, same fabricated sanitizer, same metadata, same plausible OWASP annotations, and they present it to the model in 3 different ways. First, inline. Just paste it into a user message's text. Second, simulated tool messages, structured to look like a tool result but constructed manually. Third, real SDK tool calls. The model decides on its own to call the tool, the SDK invokes it, the result comes back through the production channel.
And the result?
GPT 5.1, presented with the poison data inline as text, refuses it. 0% trust. The same model, given the same data through a real SDK tool call, trusts it 100% of the time. Same data, same model, different channel. P-value less than 1 in 10,000.
That's the moment in the paper where I actually stopped reading and stared at the wall for a minute.
Because what it means is that the trust isn't in the content. The trust is in the delivery. The model has been trained to look at tool channel data the way a scientist looks at instrument readings. And that training is so strong that the model will reject as suspicious, when presented in line, exactly the content it accepts as fact when it arrives through the production channel.
And the implication for the safety evaluation field is brutal. Most published red teaming work tests models by putting adversarial content into user messages. That's inline delivery. If the production deployment is agentic, if the same content arrives through tool calls in the real system, your evaluation may be systematically underestimating how vulnerable the deployed system is. You've measured inline robustness. You shipped agentic robustness. And for at least some models, those are different numbers.
The closest gesture at an analogy here is something like, imagine drug trials that only tested pills swallowed with water. And then the drug got deployed to a population that takes it with grapefruit juice. The trial isn't lying. The deployment context just isn't the trial context. And the channel makes the difference.
The authors are appropriately careful here. They run a small factorial experiment on Claude specifically, varying message role, data format, schema metadata, and system prompt, and find that the interaction between tool role messages and JSON formatting explains the majority of the variance in trust, around 63%. The point isn't that any single feature is the smoking gun. The point is that the trust effect is structural. It lives in specific combinations of protocol features that production deployments use and inline tests don't.
So we now have an attack class. We have a near universal empirical result. We have a methodological discovery about how to even measure this kind of thing. Juniper, before we get to defenses, I think we should voice the steel man, because the paper has caveats that an honest reader has to carry forward.
Yes, and the authors are unusually forthcoming about this, which I want to credit. Let me name three. First, the 100% number depends on directed yes-no prompts. When the agent is asked, is SQL injection mitigated on this path? The model commits to a verdict, and the verdict is wrong. When the agent is given an open-ended prompt, analyze the security posture of this code path, trust drops to somewhere between 3 and 55% depending on the model. So the maximally dramatic number is a real number, but it's the number for a specific kind of query. Real agents in production handle a mix.
Though I'd add, verification queries are exactly the kind of thing AI coding agents are increasingly being used for. Is this compliant? Is this safe? Has this been reviewed? Those are directed yes-no queries by design. So the worst-case number is also pretty close to the use-case number for the deployments the paper is most worried about.
Fair. Second caveat. All the exploitation experiments run against one production system. One 42 million node graph at one company. The authors do an analysis of four other code graph platforms: SourceGraph, SemGrep, CodeQL, Codana, and argue that the same preconditions exist there. But that's structural inference from documentation, not empirical demonstration. They haven't actually attacked those other systems.
And third, there's no human baseline. We don't know whether a human security analyst staring at the same cipher query results, seeing the fake sanitizer node with its plausible name and OWASP annotations, would also accept it. If humans show similar susceptibility, the frame shifts. It's not AI agents are uniquely vulnerable. It's data integrity is the real problem, and AI just makes it scale. Both framings have implications, but they're not the same implications.
I think the most charitable reading is that the paper has demonstrated something real and structural, and the magnitude of the effect on any given production system is going to depend on details. But the existence of the attack class and the existence of the delivery mode confound are well supported.
Okay, defenses. This is where the paper turns from interesting to actionable, and where some of the most surprising negative results live.
The authors test 6 defenses. I'll go in roughly descending order of how well they work. The one defense that fully eliminates the direct mutation vector is read-only access control. Configure the agent's database session as read-only at the connection string level. No writes allowed from anything running on the agent's credentials. If the agent literally cannot mutate the graph, the direct write version of the attack is impossible. The fix is, in production terms, almost free. It's a connection string change.
With the caveat that read-only protects you against an attacker who only has the agent's credentials. It doesn't protect you against an attacker who has write credentials through some other path. A compromised CI system, a vendor integration, a developer laptop with broader graph access. So read-only is necessary, not sufficient. But it eliminates a huge surface for free.
The second defense that actually works is multi-tool cross-verification. Give the agent a second tool that hits a different data source, say, querying the file system directly, or the version control system, or a separate index, and ask it to cross-check. When the second tool returns a clean, not found for the fabricated sanitizer, trust on the poison tool drops from 100% to somewhere between 0 and 25%.
Though the authors note an important limitation on this result, they tested it with one contradicting tool returning a clean negative. Real environments will have noisier multi-tool setups where the second tool might also be misleading, or might just be silent, or might disagree in ambiguous ways. The clean cross-verification result may not generalize as neatly when the second source is less crisp.
The third defense is what they call named devil's advocate, specifically prompting the agent with, could this have been injected by an attacker through the knowledge graph? Under real SDK delivery, the catch rate jumps to 96 or 100%. Excellent. Except that you have to already know the attack vector to ask the question. If you knew enough to ask, you could have just deployed the read-only fix.
And then the failures, which are where the paper gets really interesting. Generic devil's advocate prompting, just adding, "Are you sure? Could you be wrong about this?" to the system prompt, has a catch rate roughly equal to its false positive rate, which means it's operationally useless. It catches the attack as often as it second guesses correct conclusions. You can't use a defense whose true positive rate equals its false positive rate because turning it on creates as many problems as it solves.
And then the negative result that, if you've spent any time in this field, will land especially hard. System prompt hardening. Adding instructions to the agent's system prompt like verify all tool results before relying on them, or treat database queries with appropriate skepticism, the kind of thing every safety guidance document recommends, has zero measurable effect.
Zero. Not small effect, not modest but present. Zero, within the resolution of the experiment.
Which, when you think about why, makes sense. The model has been trained to treat tool results as observational ground truth. That training is way deeper than any instruction in a system prompt can override. The system prompt is a thin layer of intent on top of a thick layer of trained behavior. And on this question, the trained behavior wins. You can't prompt engineer your way out of a property baked into the model's training.
There's a broader lesson there for anyone whose default response to AI security problems is to write a better system prompt. For this whole class of attack, that approach does literally nothing. The fix has to be architectural, access control, or independent verification, or provenance tracking, not language.
Okay, Finn, we've covered the attack, the empirical work, the delivery mode finding, the steel man, the defenses. I want to spend a few minutes on what changes after this paper, because I think there's a frame shift in here that's bigger than the specific result.
The frame shift is this. For several years, AI safety has focused on the model. Can it be jailbroken? Will it refuse harmful requests? Does it hallucinate? Can its training data be poisoned? Those questions all assume the model is where the risk lives.
But once models become agents, once they have tool access, persistent memory, write access to systems, the locus of risk starts moving outward. The interesting failure modes increasingly aren't about the model's reasoning. They're about the model's environment, the tools it calls, the data those tools return, the protocols carrying information back. The model can be working perfectly, and the system can still fail catastrophically.
And Oracle poisoning is a particularly pure instance of that, because there are no instructions anywhere in the attack. There's no jailbreak. There's no prompt to filter. There's no adversarial text. Just facts. False facts, served through a channel the model has been trained to trust. And the more capable the model, the better its reasoning, the more confident its wrong conclusion will be.
Which is the deepest claim in the paper, and the one I want to make sure lands? The author's hypothesis. Improving reasoning capability without improving provenance verification may not reduce susceptibility. It might actually increase it. A smarter model produces a more compelling chain of reasoning from corrupted premises. The wrong answer becomes harder to spot because it's well argued.
And if that hypothesis is right, this is a structural problem in agent design that no amount of model scaling fixes. You can ship GPT-7 and Claude 5 and Gemini 4, and if you haven't separately invested in giving them tools to verify the integrity of the facts they're reasoning from, they will continue to be exactly as fooled by Oracle poisoning as today's models, possibly more confidently fooled.
There's a compliance angle that's worth one beat. Organizations are increasingly using AI agents to verify regulatory compliance, that audit logs exist, that telemetry is being collected, that security events are routed to the right places. Those compliance checks are exactly the kind of structured query against a data store workflow that Oracle poisoning targets. The integrity of automated compliance assurance ends up depending on the integrity of structured data stores that are commonly less defended than the systems they describe.
There's also a methodological undercurrent here that the field is going to have to absorb. The delivery mode finding isn't just about Oracle poisoning. It's a warning about how we evaluate any safety property of agentic systems. If your benchmark tests adversarial content as text in a user message, and your production deployment receives that content through tool calls, you're measuring the wrong thing. And the gap between the two measurements isn't subtle. For at least one model, it's the difference between 0% and 100%.
Anyone publishing safety evaluations from here on probably needs to ask, does my evaluation surface match the production surface? And if it doesn't, what am I actually claiming?
Let me name what I'd want to see next, because this paper opens more questions than it closes. 1. Cross-platform empirical work. The four-platform generalization claim needs actual exploitation against SourceGraph, against CodeQL, against the other systems. 2. The delivery mode finding tested at scale, across more models, with the sophistication levels and prompt framings varied independently. 3. Provenance-aware architectures actually built and evaluated, not just proposed. The authors gesture at things like cryptographic signing of graph nodes, confidence-weighted source evaluation, semantic differencing, none of which has been built and tested. That's the next paper, maybe the next several.
And the question I'd most want answered? The human baseline. Take the same Cypher query results. The fabricated sanitizer with its OWASP annotations and plausible naming. Show them to 100 experienced security engineers and ask, is SQL injection mitigated on this path? If humans accept the fabrication at a similar rate, the story shifts. The agent isn't uniquely vulnerable. It just makes the existing data integrity problem operate at a scale and speed humans never could.
Either way, the practical takeaway is clear. If you're running an AI coding agent against a knowledge graph through MCP, lock the session to read only. If you can, give the agent a second tool that hits a different source for verification. Don't rely on system prompts to fix this. They won't. And if you're building safety evaluations for agentic systems, test on the channel your production uses, not on the channel that's easiest to test on.
The line from the paper I keep coming back to is this one. An epistemically competent agent reasoning from poisoned data produces epistemically incompetent outputs, not because its reasoning is flawed, but because its evidence is false. That's a sentence I'd want to print out and tape above the desk of anyone designing an agentic system.
The corruption isn't in the agent, it's in the data the agent trusts. And that's a problem you fix at the data layer, not at the model layer.
Paper's linked in the show notes, along with some further reading if you want to go deeper. This has been AI Papers, a deep dive. Thanks for listening.